Today's scripture reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestor did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to the holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteousness Judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. May God bless the reading of his words.
Good morning, church, and a special welcome to our visitors. It is with great excitement, but also a great deal of trepidation that I take on this role of being the pastor here at TST Baptist Church, because I think business is not just as usual. We've suffered a great loss, haven't we? With Pastor Jerry's passing, we've lost a dear friend and brother, a very talented and gifted speaker and writer. A very loving and caring pastor, and it feels like a very daunting task for me. And so I feel like the letter of 2 Timothy is God's word to me, and maybe it can be for us as we venture into this new year together. The letters of 1 Timothy are letters that Paul sends to Timothy to encourage him, especially to prepare him for the day when Paul himself will no longer be around. In the face of the mounting challenges that Timothy is to face, this is what Paul tells Timothy, and what I believe God is telling us, TST Baptist Church, through these words of Scripture. Paul tells Timothy that he is not alone. Despite appearances, despite the fact that Paul himself will no longer be around, and he tells Timothy that he's not alone. And he gives him two pieces of important advice to remember and hold on. And so I've sort of looked at the whole text of 2 Timothy and I've distilled it into two principles, and they are to remember and hold on. So a quick recap. Last week we looked at that first idea of remembering. I talked about how it is strange that if Timothy is such a good disciple of Paul, that Paul would need to remind Timothy of so many things that he already knows. Okay, in Chinese, why are you saying things which he already knows? Paul reminds Timothy, firstly, of the faith of his mother and grandmother. Okay. Wouldn't you know who your own mother and grandmother are? But Paul says to Timothy, remember that your faith does not begin or end with you. There is a rich heritage of faith, which is doing just fine. And it will be there. It was there before you, and it will be there after you. There is a role that we must play in preaching the gospel. But our faith is built on solid ground. And that is the ground of Jesus Christ. Secondly, Paul reminds Timothy of his own commissioning. Right, again, do you know this if you were Timothy? Paul says, remember when I laid hands on you? Remember that? That really happened. And so last week I reminded you, what is your heritage of faith? Why are you sitting in these pews this morning at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning? Who preached the gospel to you? Was it your family, your parents, a pastor, a youth leader, a teacher? See, these things are all very important because the fight for faith is not ours alone. God has orchestrated things in our lives which has brought us to this point where you're sitting in these seats and you're listening to this word. Thirdly, Paul reminds Timothy of his own life and of his own example. And I thought this was strange as well, because Paul says to Timothy, remember when I went to this place and I went to jail? Remember when I went to that place and those people said these things to me? Yeah. See, these are all things that Timothy should know already. But Paul is telling Timothy these things again. He's telling Timothy to remember them so that when the day comes that Paul is no longer here, that these things will be for Timothy a source of strength for venturing into the beyond. And the last thing that Paul tells Timothy to remember is to remember God's faithfulness and the life-giving power of the gospel. Remember. Today we're going to look at the second theme, which I discussed, and that is to hold on. So in the passage that Natasha read for us, there's very much this kind of idea of passing the torch, that in Paul's absence, Timothy is to become the ambassador of the gospel to the next generation. So in many ways, 2 Timothy is a very amazing letter because it's sort of like a pivot. Yes, it's written to Timothy, but Timothy represents the new generation. Timothy represents the people who will be entrusted with the gospel and the work of preaching the gospel that Paul himself worked so hard to do. 2 Timothy was written to you and to me as well. Listen to me as I read from 1 Timothy 4:11 and onwards. He tells Timothy, he says, command and teach these things, and don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. And do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Okay. This is a very rich passage of Scripture because a lot of times it might feel like, being a good Christian is very ambiguous. Do you be a good person? Do you go to church? What do you do? But listen to the things that Paul says. He says, in your life, in your love, in your faith and purity, in your speech, set an example for the other people in church. Set an example for the believers. Devote ourselves to the reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. And so today, this sermon that I'm preaching, in a way, you know, I have Pastor Jerry on my mind because he's very much my Paul. And I'm carrying on his legacy as well as his work. But at the same time, I want to use today's sermon to talk about the future. So this is sort of like the bridge, right? So I'm holding Paul's hand, but at the same time, you know, the task is before us. So today I'm going to be mentioning a few things that throughout this year I'll be revisiting again. It is important for us to read Scripture publicly and also in our homes. It is important for us to be devoted to listening to sound preaching and to teaching. We'll be focusing on these things this year. And we will be talking about our speech, our life, our faith, our purity. At the end of the passage I just read, Paul again reminds Timothy. He says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you by the laying of hands of the elders." Okay. Again, this seems like a throwaway line with no theological significance. But if you put it into the rubric of what I'm suggesting here, these things are not just kind of in the air. They're not just ideas. They're not just abstract. Okay. But there is a tradition and legacy of faith. And God has orchestrated things for us to be where we are today. Paul goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress." Okay. I think this is amazing stuff. I think each of these verses we could probably preach a whole sermon on. But being a Christian is not just about being a private citizen or private church member. You know, my relationship with God is just between me and God, and you have no claim to it, and you have no right to say anything. See, sometimes we feel this way because we've been influenced by a Western way of thinking where kind of our individualism is our ultimate goal, which we strive to attain. You know, so even with in terms of faith, it's all about individualism and what we think is right and our personal relationship with God. I've used this example before, but especially in sort of Baptist congregations, when the time comes for the altar call, what do we say? Bow your heads, okay? Don't look around, lest anyone be embarrassed, right? And if you would like to accept Jesus in your heart, then raise your hand privately, right? God sees, but no one else can see. And I think, you know, why do we do that? Why do we do that? It seems like for Paul, these matters of faith, what it means to be a Christian, living like a Christian, these are things which are public in a way. Or in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 15, he says, "Let everyone see your progress." There's kind of this idea of accountability. Not just saying, "Hey, why are you doing this?" or "You're wrong about that." But the idea that we are the body of Christ, and the eye is concerned about what the hand is doing, and the foot is concerned about, you know, what happens to the head, right? There's this idea where we're one body, and what we do matters to other people. And so Paul says to Timothy, "Give yourself wholly to these matters, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Okay. These are no kind of light, trifling matters. On the other hand, these are matters that pertain to life and death. How you live your life, how I live my life, whether our lives comport with the truth of the gospel, this is a matter of life and death. And so going forward, I'm going to be, to the best that I can, to be transparent and accountable to you. And I want you to watch my life and see how I'm doing. And I'm going to talk to you about your life too. Because we're a body of Christ. And what you do matters to me. And what I do matters to you. Okay, so we need to become a congregation that is not afraid of criticism. And we need to be a congregation which is not afraid to edify with our words and with our actions. And why? Because this is a matter of life and death. If we do what Paul says we need to do, we will save both ourselves and those who listen to us in our proclamation. And so I take this very seriously, and I take these not only as Paul's words to Timothy, but Jerry's words to me and to us. And so last week I talked about remembering. This week I want to talk about holding on. The context, as I mentioned, is Paul is finished. He has finished his work on earth. He has fought the good fight. He's finished the race. And he's kept the race. And now it's our turn. But if you look at, 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll see that it's very interesting that there's no competition. There's no rivalry. There's no comparison. There's no jealousy. There's only continuity. The themes of entrusting and guarding pervade this letter. Listen to me as I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. He says, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Okay. So some people believe that what he's guarding is the gospel, the message of the gospel. But more interpreters believe that what is being guarded is the church and Timothy's leadership of the church. He goes on to say, "What you have heard from me, keep." Okay, again, the idea of guarding, keeping, right? "Keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And then guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us," right? Okay. I did not stutter. Okay, Paul's repeating these words. Keep, 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 guard, guard. Again, there's a wonderful sense of continuity there. There's a wonderful sense of tradition in a good sense, and that what we do is built on the edifice and the foundation of people who have gone before us, such as Pastor Jerry, such as the Apostle Paul. In chapter 2, he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men, and who will also be qualified to teach others." Right? Again, there's that public thing again. Okay. There's no private teaching. So, Jesus told you to do this, go do it. It's a public nature of gospel truth and proclamation. The things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men and women who will also be qualified to teach others. And so, my dear TST Baptist Church brothers and sisters, one of my goals this year, another one of my goals, is to make it so that you will also be qualified to teach. No matter, you want to, to become a pastor in a church or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you being so equipped in the matters of the gospel and of the faith, okay, that you become reliable men and women who are able to and qualified to teach other people. That's one of my goals. So you're not just going to be a Christian anymore, you're going to be a teacher of the Word. I think, I mentioned this last week, but with Kung Fu movies or whatever, it's all about the Sifu and the disciple, right? Like, I'm going to give you, my skills or whatever. But with Paul, it's never just a one-to-one sort of situation. There's always kind of, in the corner of his eye, God is there. And I'm not making this up. I mean, look at the text I just read even. There's always that, yes, I'm giving this to you, but God is faithful. Don't forget that. I am entrusting you with this, but do this in the strength of Jesus. Listen, see if you can hear it, okay? So he says, "I've been appointed the apostle and teacher, and yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and that he is faithful and able to guard what I have entrusted to him to that day. You, Timothy, okay, guard that deposit." Okay, see, it's based on the fact that God is able. Okay. Amen. I'm telling you to do this, but remember, God is able. And then the passage in chapter 2, he says, entrust these things to reliable men and women who will also be qualified to teach others, but do this by being strong in the grace of Jesus. See, his eyes always, out of the corner of his eye, there's always the reality of God which undergirds what he does, which is the motivation and strength for what he does. What does Paul tell Timothy to guard? Okay, what does Paul tell Timothy to guard? And what do we have to be mindful for in this coming year? Well, there's a few things. The first is in these pastoral letters called the faith. Okay, so the faith, which in, you know, 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus refer to sort of the Christian life. Okay, so the word faith is used a little differently than it is in Romans or Galatians. Faith here refers to the totality of one's life with regard to our faith in Jesus. The second thing that he tells Timothy to guard is the gospel. So the message of the gospel. In 2 Timothy verse 1 to 8, he says, "This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So, how does gospel differ from faith? Well, gospel is the actual proclamation about what Jesus has done to bring us from death into life, of how his suffering, his death, his resurrection and exaltation has a direct bearing on the life of the Christian. And I'm excited to be talking about the gospel with you this year as well. We're going to revisit what the gospel means. It's not just about forgiveness. It's about reconciliation. It's not just about salvation. It's about being a people for God's name and for God's glory. The third thing that Paul tells Timothy to guard is sound teaching. Okay, so this is again a theme that runs through the entire letters of 1st and 2nd Timothy. 2nd Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 and onward says this: "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, and what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." Right? Again, God is always there when he's talking about things. And he goes on to say in verse 16, this is 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Okay? So, there's this emphasis on teaching, which includes the content of our faith. Okay, so let me go back for a little bit. So what do we have to guard? Okay, what do we have to keep? What do we have to, you know, treat as our treasure to protect? Well, the faith, okay, the gospel, the message of Jesus. Three, sound teaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he tells Timothy to present himself to God as one who is approved, a workman, someone who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. As I mentioned previously, this is one of my goals for myself and for our congregation this year, okay, that we would work hard being people who guard the truth. Truth matters, especially in our generation, where truth is being trampled upon and seen as something that is irretrievable, something that is not important. You have your version of the truth. I have my version of the truth. Let's go our merry ways, separate ways. Well, I'm not sure that's what the Bible says, for one. And people, men and women, say that to ease their own conscience. Paul talks about the dark days that are coming. I mentioned this last week, but I'll read this again because I really think that this characterizes the times in which we live. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. People will become lovers of money. People will become boastful and proud, abusive and disobedient to parents. They will be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. They will be slanderous and without self-control. They will be brutal and not lovers of the good. They will be treacherous, rash, and conceited. They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but deny its true power. Have nothing to do with them." Ouch. Now tell me if this isn't describing Hong Kong in 2019. And folks, this isn't just referred to people on the outside. This is talking about us as well. Do we have a form of godliness that denies the true power of the gospel to change lives? Do we merely have a form of godliness and piety that is for show, but denies the power of the gospel to change our lives? And so I think it is of utmost importance that we become reliable men and women who are qualified to teach, and also that we are concerned, people who are concerned with truth. The truth of Jesus, surely, but also the light that our trust in Jesus brings to other issues, to other important things that we have to consider. I need to wrap up. Right, Chairman? You know I love you guys, right? We're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. Again, I love 2 Timothy because it's so full of like practical things to do. You know, it's not just, you know, be holy. What does that mean? Be a good Christian. What does that mean, right? There's a zillion things that we can work on. Paul tells Timothy to learn from his example of teaching, conduct, objective, faith, patience, love. He charges Timothy to use the Word of God, the Scriptures, to convince people, to rebuke people, to encourage people with patience, with sobriety, and to actually be skilled at teaching from Scripture. That's right, you can use the Bible and still do it badly, okay? I've been teaching kind of pastors and missionaries for 8 years now. Okay, just because you use the Bible doesn't mean people have to listen to you, because you have to do it well. You have to know how to read it, and you have to know how to present it. You have to know how to talk about it. There's a skill involved, and we're going to be talking about that as well. There's different ways to use the Bible as well, right? I mentioned rebuking. It seems like in the public sphere, and using the Bible is only rebuking, and that's not what Paul says. Sometimes it is used for rebuke. Sometimes it is used to encourage and give people hope. Sometimes it's to teach people with patience about actual, you know, matters in their lives. I think that's amazing. You know, there is kind of a depth, and there is kind of a richness to what our faith offers us in terms of dealing with our jobs and our family lives, our love lives, those of us who are looking for direction in life. There's a variety of ways in which God leads us onward. To become a disciple of Jesus means to be equipped in different areas. All right. I will close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 onward says this: "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men and women will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to say. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, which is us, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Yes, Pastor Jerry has left us for now. We will see him again in our heavenly home. But we're not alone. You're not alone. In addition to the rich heritage of faith, in addition to Jerry's own life and example, in addition to the Word of God, in addition to God's faithfulness, the life-giving power of the gospel, we have the message of 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, which tells us to remember and hold on. I pray that these words would give me and also give you strength and hope for the future. There is a great challenge ahead, and there is a lot of work for us to do, but we just need to be faithful, and we have to know that we're not alone. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you call us to be your people, and you've given us a future. And we pray that your Spirit would convict us, each one, no matter if we go to this church or we're from elsewhere. We pray that you would impress upon us the message of 1 and 2 Timothy. We would be comforted by the fact that our faith is greater than who we are. And Lord, that you are faithful to accomplish your will in us and through us. And so, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you, and we pray that in this coming year that you would lead us to the places that you have planned for us. Give us the courage to do your will. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.